You're listening to 100.9 The Heat, gospel for the glory of Jesus, the High Desert's number one music station with Mel Slade.
It is now time for a word from the Lord from Apostle William T. Broaddus, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church of Pacoima.
Today, my beloved, I want to look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. In conclusion, let's talk about our attitude towards ourselves. Matthew 5:3, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." To be poor in spirit means to be humble, to have a correct estimate of oneself, according to Romans 12:3. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul writes, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." It does not mean to be poor-spirited and have no backbone at all. Poor in spirit is the opposite of the world's attitude of self-praise and self-assertion. It is not a false humility that says, "I'm not worth anything, I can't do anything." It is honesty with ourselves. We know ourselves, we accept ourselves, and we try to be ourselves to the glory of God. We must understand our attitude with ourselves is important. Our attitude to ourselves will determine our reaction, our behavior, hallelujah, on a day-to-day basis. Our attitude to ourselves is uniquely sensitive to who and what we are. Again, it does not mean to be poor-spirited, because the Bible said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. And again, we are worth much in the sight of God. Poor spirit doesn't say I can't do anything. It is being honest with oneself. Praise God, it is to know who we are and to be ourselves to the glory of God. We must understand, my beloved, our attitude towards our sin. Matthew 5:4-6 said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You got to understand that we mourn over sin. We mourn over unrighteousness. We mourn over that which is evil. We mourn and we despise those things. Those things that are not of God, we don't like it. We despise it. We see sin the way God sees it and seek to treat it the way God seeks to treat sin. Those who cover sin or defend sin certainly have the wrong attitude. We should not only mourn over our sins, but we should also meekly submit to God and ask God to forgive us of our sin and help us turn from our way of wickedness or unrighteousness. In Luke, we hear these words, Luke 18:9. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortionate, unjust, adulterer, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithe of all that I possess. And the tax collector standing afar will not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So we have to understand, my beloved, that it's important to understand our attitude toward ourselves, our attitude towards our sins, and our attitude towards the Lord. In Matthew 5:7-9, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the Son of God. We experience God's mercy when we trust Christ. According to Ephesians 2:4-7, the God who is rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together. together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So we have to understand that Jesus Christ, when we come to him, he gives us a clean heart and peace within. The Bible says in Acts 59, and make no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts and faith. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But having received his mercy, we then share his mercy with others. We seek to keep our hearts pure, that we might see God in our lives every day. We become peacemakers and not peace breakers. Hear what I said? We become peacemakers in a troubled world and channels for God's mercy, channels for God's purity, and channels for God's peace. Don't you want to be a channel for God to use to help people in this society of ours, help people not only in our community, not only in our city, not only in our state, not only in our nation, but if God gives us opportunity, all over the world. So we have to understand that God wants us to have a positive attitude towards him. And then he wants us to have a positive attitude towards the world. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 16. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Listen to what Jesus said. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. My beloved, it's not easy to be a dedicated, committed Christian. Our society is not a friend to God nor to God's people. Whether we like it or not, there is conflict between us and the world. Why? Because we are different from the world and we have different attitudes. As we read the Beatitudes, we find that they represent an outlook radically different from that of the world. The world praises pride, not humility. The world endorses sin, especially if you get away with it. The world is at war with God, while God is seeking to reconcile his enemies and make them his children. We must expect to be persecuted if we are living as God wants us to live. But we must be sure that our suffering is not due to our own foolishness and disobedience. Amen to the Lamb of God. The Bible says, you are the salt of the earth. Salt was connected with purity. No doubt its glistening whiteness made the connection easy. The Romans said that salt was the purest of all things because it came from the purest of all things, the sun and the sea. So then, if the Christian is to be the salt of the earth, he must be an example of purity. One of the characteristics of the world in which we live in is the lowering of standards. Standards of honesty, standards of diligence in work, standards of conscientiousness, moral standards, all tend to be lowered. No Christian can allow himself to be tarnished and suggestive jests, which are so often part of social conversation. The Christian cannot withdraw from the world, but he must, as James says, keep himself unstained from the world. James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So then, salt preserved from corruption. If the Christian is to be the salt of the earth, he must have a certain antiseptic influence on life. We all know that there are certain people in whose company it is to be good, and that also there are certain people whose company it is easy for standards to be relaxed. I'm sorry I'm running out of time, but I just want to remind you that there are certain people in whose presence a soil story would be readily told, and there are other people to whom no one would dream of telling such a tale. The Christian must be the cleansing antiseptic in any society in which he happens to be. He must be the person who, by his presence, defeats corruption and makes it easier for others to be good. So I'm saying to you today in this word, you be that antiseptic. You be that thing that cleanses our society from moral corruption. You be that person that God can use to lift up a fallen society, to lift up fallen humanity, to put us into an area of love, an area of trust, an area of peace. You be, as a believer, that divine antiseptic that God has sent to this life, in this life, to make positive changes, whether you're in the White House, whether you're somewhere in government, or on your job. You be that person that God can use. Thank you today. Thank you, Brother Slade, for allowing us to share the gospel for the glory of Jesus Christ, KRAJ 100.9 FM in the beautiful Antelope Valley. God bless you. And on behalf of my wife, Pastor Gloria Broaddus, Prophetess Gloria Broaddus, and myself, we want you to keep your heads up high and know God loves you and God will bless you in the coming days ahead.